Hello and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly podcast, where we discuss leadership issues which have recently hit the newsstands. This week, we're focusing on events up to the 21st of December 2018. My name's Nick Scott, and I'm an economist and academic working with the Institute of Leadership and Management, and I'm joined today by the Institute's Head of Research, Policy and Standards, Kate Cooper. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Nick.
Our first news item picks up a story from the Guardian newspaper, which asks whether it's all right to treat your freelance and temporary workers differently from established permanent employees. Google's army of so-called TVCs, temps, vendors and contractors, published a critical open letter to Google CEO Sundar Pichai, claiming Google operates a system of institutionalized racism and sexism which discriminates against and effectively marginalizes these gig workers, resulting in unequal opportunity and unequal pay. Does it matter if you treat workers differently on the basis of their employment status?
It obviously matters to Google, because 20,000 people walked out to show that it matters. And the issue is, if your people are working in a similar environment and they feel that they're working for the same brand, and there is really no bigger brand than Google, why should you treat them differently? Because they have different employment arrangements. Now, we hear a lot about gig workers and how it suits both the employer and the employee. But if it's not suiting both parties, then Google have got to address what it is they're doing and what the message is they are sending out, because this isn't saying we value people.
Well, Google have responded, arguing that these TVCs are not employees of Alphabet, the parent company. They don't have the same entitlement to medical care, reimbursement of travel costs and access to training courses. The Guardian reports that this differential treatment is Alphabet trying to stop subcontractors being able to claim costly employee benefits and rights. Now, is this reasonable protection of the organisation or further evidence of unreasonable discrimination?
The Google employees, both TVCs and permanent employees, seem to consider it as discrimination and have articulated their disappointment and dissatisfaction with that very, very strongly. Now, of course, it's more expensive to have employees with the associated benefits package. But Google do deliver great profits. They do rely so much on people, on intellectual capital. It seems incredibly short-sighted to think that you can get away for any length of time with two divisions of workers, one you seem to treat really well and the others you treat far less well, because obviously nobody's happy with this.
Our second story draws on recently published research by consultants One for All Rewards, which found that businesses who hand out end-of-year bonuses are less likely to see employees either looking for a new job or accepting a new role elsewhere if approached. Managing Director Alan Smith said, "It's interesting to see how far even a token bonus can impact employee loyalty at this, the busiest time of year for those seeking new and greener pastures." So, Kate, does this finding surprise you?
It's so difficult to isolate one activity, one action, as we're told here about a Christmas bonus, and say that that is the cause of people staying. I think what's particularly interesting is the level of appreciation does seem to be disproportionate almost to the size of the reward. In the longer term, if you're not using Christmas as an excuse to say well done and thank you to your staff, you really have to examine, well, when are you doing it and how are you doing it? And the answer might well be you're not, in which case you're not going to get that loyalty premium.
Writing in Elite Business magazine, John Attridge of BBX argues that organisations' retention strategies should go further, taking a more proactive, strategic approach, including focused January team meetings, training and development interventions, one-to-one meetings and the like. Does this make more sense than just a narrow focus on a financial reward at Christmas?
It does. Research we've done in the past really does show how January is a time when people really do think about a new job, leaving their current employer. Now, they might not in February and March actually act act on that, but the feeling is there and it's unsettling. It means there's a level of distraction. Do something proactively. Do something to remind them what a great employer you are, to remind them how valued they are, to offer opportunities for development, all the non-financial benefits that encourage loyalty and remind your staff why they enjoy working for you.
In a recent poll, business card maker Vistaprint found that over 3/4 of SME leaders expect to work at some point over the Christmas period, with half planning to work on Christmas Day itself, and only 12% said they were determined to take a clear break. Vistaprint Director of Customer Strategy, Simon Breyer, stated that whenever possible, SME owners should take a well-deserved break, arguing that recharging your batteries with quality family time can bring fresh ideas and a renewed sense of drive for the new year. So, Kate, it's a tough trade-off. Take a well-earned break or steal a march ahead of those who are snoozing on the sofa.
I think it really depends on the view you take of work-life balance, because this undoubtedly is a work-life balance issue. If you're of the view that you have a finite amount of time and you have to allocate it amongst all the demands on it fairly and equitably, then of course you're not allocating enough time to family, enough time to your own well-being, then do take some time off. But we do know, especially people in small businesses, find their work energising, and it's not just a question of being able to switch off and go and enjoy the Christmas festivities. They might genuinely prefer to be at work, and that actually is giving them a greater sense of satisfaction and well-being. But it's a flawed business model if you work so hard, you don't recharge your batteries, you get tired, jaded, and lose energy. So the advice to these SME owners is to take a real hard look at what they get from engaging in social activities, time with their family, how it does inspire them and encourage them to come back in the new year with renewed enthusiasm, and honestly appraise what will happen for the 48 hours when they're able to actually take a break.
And finally this week, a recent McKinsey podcast reviewed recurring lessons from recently retired CEOs about how they managed the period of office after the initial newness of being in post had passed. One of the issues they identified was that while it's relatively easy to signal you want disruptive creativity when you first take up the reins, with the passage of time, these bottom-up suggestions dry up. So, Kate, what can leaders and managers do to maintain a freer flow of ideas from all over the workforce?
Well, this is interesting because we hear so much about people in the first 90 days. We've talked about people leaving, moving on to new jobs, no longer being part of the future that they've helped to create for the people who are remaining. And this middle period is the uninteresting, the not so frequently talked about. So if we're going to say, how are we going to keep that vibrant? How are we going to encourage the ideas to flourish? The CEOs have just got to keep ensuring that their teams are renewed and refreshed, and that the responsibility for generating ideas, for encouraging people to contribute, isn't located solely in that person. So if you spread the opportunities to offer ideas, spread the people who are encouraging them, then they will continue to flourish.
Well, thanks very much for that, Kate. Sadly, that's all we have time for this week. Please go to the website www.institutelm.com to find out more about the Institute of Leadership and Management and access some of our free learning and development materials. This podcast series will be taking a short seasonal break, but we'll be back with emerging news stories at the start of the new year. If you're in a position to take some time off between now and then, we hope you have a good break. More from us in 2019.